This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Deborah Gonzalez. Deborah, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
Deborah, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Well, first of all, I'm an attorney, and I also have a consulting company called Law2SM. And what we do is we look at the legal aspects of online, digital, and social media activity. And one of the things that I work with, particularly with my clients, is to make them understand what the concept of digital assets is and that these digital assets have value that need to be protected, right? Mm-hmm. And then as they go and make certain decisions to protect those assets, to think about different scenarios of what may happen in case the access and control management that they have in place might need to change. So we take sort of two different perspectives, right? When we work with individuals, we're looking at a digital legacy plan and personal digit assets. But when we're working with businesses, we're looking at a digital succession plan.
Deborah, what should people consider for succession planning of digital assets, whether individuals leave an organization voluntarily, involuntarily, or quite literally die while employed for a company in the United States?
Well, I think the first thing is that people need to be aware that this can be an issue. I don't think people go into business and think, oh my God, you know, the person who's in charge of all my assets is going to get hit by a car and die or become so critically injured that they can't do their job. But it is important as a business person to sort of make sure that that is in our consciousness and then make sure that we put it into a succession plan regarding the control, access, and management of these assets, no matter what kind of scenario happens, right? Whether it's a voluntary separation with an employee or an involuntary separation with the employee. The second thing is that this plan should also include an inventory of the digital assets. Who has access and control over those digital assets? And what are the credentials to access those digital assets? And so this will help because you combine this with the protocol in place for managers and supervisors to have those credentials as well. So if something happens, the information isn't lost to the business completely. So we call this our digital record keeping, making sure we know what we have and how to get to them. And third, I always suggest to my clients is that they integrate into the exit interview. And, you know, some of these businesses might even have sort of a terminated employee checklist that they have to go through these steps when an employee leaves the company. But add a couple of items that relate specifically to digital assets and their credentials and ensure that these credentials are transferred. And once they're transferred, make sure also that these credentials are changed so that that employee no longer has access to them from outside of the company.
Deborah, are there laws protecting digital assets after death?
Yes, and it's really interesting because one of the things that we have to think about is go back into the whole idea of the U.S. in terms of the laws being very property-centric. And so the first laws that we have that will deal with digital assets and any transfer are what we call the inheritance laws, especially for personal digital assets. And that's in our Constitution, right? This idea of property. And so what we in the legal terms call the power of dead hands. Now, this is very different from other countries who are more interested in that property not be wasted. So if the person has died or been terminated, then that property needs to be changed to somebody who can use it. That's a very different perspective than the U.S. perspective. Now, to add a complexity to that, in 1986, Congress actually passed a law that forbids consumer electronic communications companies from disclosing content without its owner's consent or a government order like a police investigation or a subpoena. And so the issue there was to protect the consumer's privacy and for consumer protection. So that's why we have lots of companies that then include in their website terms of use certain clauses that say, you know, if the person dies, then the account is automatically terminated. So you can think of your frequent flyer miles, for example, where they say you can transfer miles, you can gift miles while you're alive, but not once you're dead. OK, okay? Other things that also act that way are maybe your email systems or online banking. And from a business perspective, then you have to think of some of the service provider agreements. Like if you're using cloud storage for your digital assets, what do they say about access and termination of an employee or a change of the credentials? You want to make sure that if there is a third party involved, that you know what their service provider agreements actually say. Now, we are beginning to see some specific state laws that actually have included the language of digital assets in them. And right now we have 7 states passing legislation talking about executive power over digital assets. And these include Connecticut and Rhode Island. Now, they only cover email, but Indiana, Idaho, and Oklahoma cover social networking and blogging accounts, and also Nebraska. Now, the problem is that these sometimes are in conflict with the website terms of use of some of these sites that we use with our digital assets. And the laws have not really been tested in court. So in August of 2014, Governor Jack Markell of Delaware actually signed HB 345, and this is the first of its kind in the U.S. Now, again, you know, it's relatively new, but it is interesting to see the progressions that states have made. And the other thing that I want to bring up is that we did have a Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act that was approved in July 2014, trying to give sort of a standard across the nation. But that is a voluntary, right? That's not a federal mandated act, but you can get some additional information. There is a great blogger, Jeffrey Fowler, who wrote Life and Death Online, Who Controls a Digital Legacy, and you can certainly Google him and follow the information that he's put out there. He writes for the Wall Street Journal, so he's definitely looking at the value these digital assets have.
What are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
The biggest challenge that I've seen is sort of this unawareness of the issue that there's all these assets out there, right, in digital space, and that we've put someplace, and it's very easy to lose track of them if we don't have a system in place to actually manage them. And so it becomes almost like an afterthought for so many businesses and individuals. And when, you know, when someone dies or when an employee abruptly leaves, this can cause a lot of chaos. It can be a loss to the business of client information, which can then lead to a loss of financial assets. There's a lot of wasted time that happens trying to figure out what the password is or even how to reset the password, and lots of frustration. So it can actually affect the whole work environment as they're trying to get a hold on these digital assets. As for the biggest success, I think it's when clients actually develop a plan that address the issue. And it's almost like a sigh of relief that they know that they've addressed this and they've taken care of it. But more importantly, not only did they address it, but then that they integrate it into the way that they operate their business. Because this isn't something that you just do once and then sort of forget. As you've seen, the laws are changing. And therefore, you have to make sure that the plans that you have in place for your business changes as well and is up to date with the laws and what you need to do to protect your assets.
What advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Well, the first thing that I'd like to share is that, you know, the whole digital assets arena is really growing and it's getting integrated with things such as the privacy concerns and the security concerns. So the first bit of advice is learn about it and keep learning about it. You know, I usually tell people, read, keep up to date. I know there's a lot of things going on. There are new technologies being involved, new trends and new headlines. You can certainly use things like Google Alerts or TalkWalker to sort of get the new things sort of pushed to you in an email so that you can keep up to date with that. Another thing I'd like to suggest is network, meet with others in the digital asset management field. And whether that's, you know, following certain people on Twitter and seeing what they're talking about, seeing what they're reading, seeing where they're going, or going to these conferences, even if you can't go in person, so many of these conferences are now being done virtually. And so you're able to even communicate with others who are not able to physically attend the conference, but that you can communicate online. But networking is really important because, you know, everybody reads something. And so pulling all that together can make it a lot easier than having the responsibility of trying to read everything that there is. And the last thing I would suggest is talk about what you're doing with digital asset management and listen to what others are doing and share those best practices and share the lessons learned, because we all make mistakes. And so there's always something to learn about what not to do or how to do it better next. So being able to talk about it also helps us reflect what happened and what we can do better.
Great. Well, thanks, Deborah.
Okay.
Deborah, where can we find more information on what you do?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Law2SM. The website is www.law2sm.com, or you can email me at Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, at Law2SM.com.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, log on to anotherdamblog.com. For this podcast and 150 other podcast episodes, including transcripts of every interview, go to anotherdampodcast.com. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.